This is the local music revolution.
Welcome to the Local Music Revolution. I will be your host and bearer of good news this evening, or day, or night, or morning, whichever one you're listening to. My name is Ogre. How are you doing, guys? On today's episode, we have Jill from IC Home Promotions, which it's a really good interview. Really, really interesting and a really, really good company to have on your side. So musicians, this one's for you guys. My gift to you. Is my conversation with Jill, because it's fantastic. And take notes. Just take them. Just grab a piece of paper. Write that stuff down. However, before we get to Jill, I have announcements to make on this episode. Extremely important announcements. And there are more than one of them. See, announcements is plural. That means there's more than one. So, announcement number one. The Local Music Revolution now has another sponsor that you will be hearing about and getting to know very well. As most metal bands, rock bands, and affiliates have done, and I am proud to say that I have as well, I am now sponsored by Cold Cock Whiskey. So artists that are sponsored by Cold Cock Whiskey will now, you know, start filtering through this process, and you will be able to hear them and listen to them and get to know them and truly, truly love them because of this access that I'm getting. So yeah, good for you guys. Good for me. The Local Music Revolution now sponsored by Cold Cock Whiskey. Second announcement. I've been waiting for a very long time, actually 6 months, to announce this. I've kept it really, really close to my heart, and I only told few people that I actually did trust that wouldn't actually do anything about it. The Local Music Revolution will be doing another live show at Barmageddon, of course, because Barmageddon is fantastic, here in my hometown of Tulare. However, this is a very special event. This event is very close to my heart because I've always wanted to do something of this nature. So I'm finally getting to do this. Also, two of the bands have never played in my hometown before. So I'm able to bring new, fresh acts to my hometown. And more importantly than anything, it is a Halloween party. It is a masquerade party, which I've never been asked to go to a masquerade party or ball or whatever you want to call it. And I'm really tired of it. So Barmageddon jumped on that, and I am able to actually throw this party for Halloween, the weekend before Halloween, because really, who's going to party on a Monday? The bands are Cool Homer Jack, Spirit Descending, Debt to the Deathless, and of course my good friends Culture Vulture. There might be another band. I am working on other things, but as of right now, this is a four band show, and it will be a great night of partying. It's $5 pre-sales, $7 at the door. If you get the pre-sales early, it's five tickets for $20, guys. Seriously, it's amazing. And it's going to be in Tulare at Barmageddon. Do not miss it. It's going to be a great, great night. As this is being heard around the masses, the world, whatever you want to call that, this will be having a serious social media push. So if you want to see the news, if you want to RSVP, if you want to get pre-sales or talk to the bands, find out the bands, All you have to do is go on to social media. The Local Music Revolution will be updated as soon as this podcast is released. So go to facebook.com/thelocalmusicrevolution. Go to Twitter at TLMRpodcast. Go to Instagram at thelocalmusicrevolution. Go to tumblr.com/thelocalmusicrevolution. And of course, the first one that's going to be updated and the most up-to-date information, thelocalmusicrevolution.com. This is amazing, guys. I'm seriously super, super stoked about this. It's a great time to be a podcaster, guys. Seriously, it's wonderful. And let's share in the glory. Oh, String Joy, the first, my first sponsor. They have been so good to me. They have been so good to my listeners, and they have been good to my bands. So, stringjoy.com. All you have to do is go to stringjoy.com and check them out. They customize sets of strings for you. So if you're a guitarist and you've always wanted a specific sound but you can never figure it out, start with your strings, guys. Start with those strings. And StringJoy is the place to start with your strings. So go to stringjoy.com. They can actually help you out there. And if you go, you put all that stuff into your cart, and then you go to checkout, enter the promo code LOCAL, that's L-O-C-A-L, and you'll get a discount for being a listener of the Local Music Revolution. Now, I've ranted, I've rambled. I finally got all that information out, and I'm super excited, so please don't judge me. But here it is. This is Jill from IC Home Promotions talking about her promotion company, her illustrations, how she got started, and most of all, why she's helping out the underground metal scene, which is extremely important in this industry. So, Jill, you're awesome. Thank you very much. Let's do this. All right. I'm here with Jill from IC Home Productions, or Promotions.
No worries.
Mess up number one. So how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty fantastic, just getting ready for the summer. Thank you for having me on.
Well, thank you for giving me the time to talk to you. So you're in a promotion company. So what is your role in the company, and how did the company come about?
Well, I am a freelance illustrator by trade. That's my day job. And my biggest clients are musicians. From local to international level. And no matter how famous or not famous somebody was, whenever I was working with a band, I just got really, really tired of seeing these bands getting taken advantage of. And, you know, I was being taken advantage of. And I just got really, really tired and exhausted from it really fast. So I decided to start IC Home Promotions, to kind of end that. And especially with the polarization of the music industry right now, there's, you know, everybody wants to be in a label, but they expect it to be like 30 years ago, when the people that are rising right now are kind of the people with the do-it-yourself attitude. And which is why another reason why we started IC Home Promotions was because we wanted to highlight those people that work hard and really want to get their material out there without without the backing of a corporate based label or a management promotion company. So we wanted to provide an outlet for the professional sounding independent and underground musicians.
Nice. So in your role in IC Home Promotions, do you actually still do you use your illustration background in IC Home Productions Promotions?
Oh, absolutely. I'm the founder and I'm one of the PR representatives. We now have three people on staff right now. His name is Drew from a band called Cynical, and we have Chelorea, who's in a band called Sarasvati. She's also in The Awakening and White Empress. And one of the things that we like to bring to the table is none of us really went to school for, you know, business and marketing and all that good stuff. And we decided, and over the past, you know, collectively, we have well over a decade of experience. We wanted to bring a different aspect to the table, and because I'm able to, as an illustrator, I can bring that visual aspect to stand out from everybody else, because nobody wants to work with a company that's doing what everybody else is doing. And you know, we want to be able to create an image opportunity, you know, to stand out from everybody else, not just, you know, and not just being the cookie cutter setting. And there are a lot of promotion companies that unfortunately have that aspect, and we try to move away from that.
I understand. So what are some of the services that you provide these bands or help them along with?
Well, one of our biggest things is that we are not a corporate promotion company. One of the things that we specialize in is getting that indie and underground exposure, which is doing a lot better, you know, with platforms like Bandcamp. Yep. And rather than Amazon and iTunes, and also, like, we're not going to send an interview out to Revolver magazine or Metal or some of those really, really big magazines, because we're finding that a lot of the biggest support system is through the independent and underground, such as people like yourself or indie radio stations and whatnot. So our main services is sending material out to indie radio stations, indie blogs, indie magazines, so we can get airplay of, you know, I think right now I believe that we are connected to 6 major independent radio. I'm gonna call them radio stations. So, and they each have about 25 to 50 DJs each. So our bands, as much as a lot of these stations are small, they play us on a regular basis. So they get heard by about 10,000 people a day.
Oh, nice.
And also, you know, we're building our portfolio of, again, indie blogs and magazines, so they can get interviewed or they can have their album reviewed. They can just even a band of the day or a small feature helps, and it goes a long, long way. So that's one of the things that we're doing, so they can show that they have a support, basically a support system that supports them for sounding good, and not just you know, who has more money or who has more sponsors, who has more likes on Facebook and all that.
Yeah.
We also provide electronic press kit reviews to make you stand out a little bit more, so you don't, because I can't tell you how many boring electronic press kits I've read. I don't know about you, but it gets exhausting after a while. And we also provide marketing strategies and social media outreach, so our main goal is to get the material out to the right people. That's our biggest goal with every band that we work with. So those are our services, kind of in a nutshell. It kind of depends on, we're going to start within the next year. We're going to be providing branding opportunities, which will be including if somebody really, really, they have the material, they have the music, they just need help getting it out there. We can help provide them with, for instance, if they need a design layout, a lyric video, a streaming video, logo design, and everything like that. And we're looking into providing online tour PR support. So if you're a small band and you're looking to do a tour, we can, in each city, we can set up a few interviews, we can provide a few press releases. So there are people that are there to support these small bands and not just the big international one.
So with all of that said, how long has it taken you to set all of this up and to get this vision crystal clear, as you have just stated?
Well, Right now, we are building, as I said, we're building our portfolio. We're going to be relaunching again in around just after we release our Volume 3 compilation, which is our free PR event for the year.
Okay.
And I'm going to say about around October is when we're going to be launching our new package system. And we've been getting, you know, and we call them affiliates, which, because we want to develop, not just, we don't want to send material out into the void without a personal relationship. We like to develop a relationship with every magazine, every radio station that we work with. So it gets to the point where we all have a network of, not just for the bands, but for the people that are working to promote the bands. So our affiliates are backbone, but again, they're personal. So it we're gaining our portfolio every day. So we're hoping to have about over 250 affiliates by October. We have close to 100 now, and the more the merrier. We're going to be looking to expand again in October so we can provide the best service and product for our clients.
Nice. All right, so you mentioned compilation CD number 3. So can you go into 1 and 2? What led up to that, and then what you guys are doing with 3 now?
Okay. Well, one of the things that we noticed in this industry is that it's very difficult, as much as the internet is huge and vast, it's very difficult for smaller bands to get, you know, the simple things like radio airplay, or, you know, they kind of resort themselves to the amount of likes they have on Facebook, which is sad. And unfortunately, sometimes it is a necessary evil, but we wanted to be that outlet where that didn't matter. As long as you owned all the rights to your music and you have a professional sounding production, you know, and worked well with others and you were very passionate about getting your music out there, we provided this opportunity to release these compilations. And, you know, it's all donation-based. So if you wanted to download it for free, you could. However, if you donated money to it, all the money went directly back to the bands.
Nice.
So, and we did that for a while. And due to unforeseen circumstances, you know, it just became a little too exhausting for us because the staff wasn't getting paid, and the staff at the time being basically me, that, you know, it was kind of hard to wrangle all these bands and getting it out to the public. And sometimes it's kind of like, I love musicians, I love working with bands. Sometimes though, it's like pulling teeth. But
yes,
that being said, we decided, Drew and myself decided to become more of a, you know, affordable PR company after that. But we understand that budgeting is still an issue, especially if you have $5,000 worth of equipment and you're playing a gig and getting paid $20. So the compilation is still is kind of also our portfolio, and it's easy to send it out to radio stations and podcasts and everything like that, and they can play. They basically have a show set up for them if I send it to them, which is nice for us. So that's kind of what we're doing now with these compilations, is we're providing an opportunity where it's not going to be our expensive package like we would be giving individual attention to. But it's still one of the ways that bands can get their music out there with a little support.
Nice.
And the one thing that we're doing differently this year is we are releasing it as a split release. We're going to have basically the hard and then the extreme. So the first one is going to have, you know, hard rock bands, a little bit of prog metal, and anything with just kind of a heavy sound. And the other one is going to have like black death thrash metal and everything like that. So
nice.
Because we understand that some people just can't get into the heavy stuff, and those heavy people sometimes can't get into the softer stuff. And especially since we've been finding that there are, for instance, some radio stations will get our compilations and they're like, well, I can't play half of this. So we wanted to provide, basically throw our net out a little bit and get the bands out to people that want to hear them on a PR standpoint, and the fans that can probably handle them a lot better. So.
Nice. So going back just a little bit, how do you actually choose the bands that you're working with? You said the higher, the more expensive package for the PR. How do you gauge the bands for that?
For the PR package?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, right off the bat, we had to make sure that they kind of fit in our roster. And as much as we work from anywhere from hard rock to death metal, it's very important that, you know, they have not necessarily a likable sound, but they sound professional. And there's a lot of bands that have sent us material and it sounds like they recorded it with their iPhone in their garage. So the biggest one is production. We want to use quality recordings, because that will not only affect our reputation, but theirs as well. So production is probably the biggest key. The other one is we look at how active the band is, and they don't have to be doing shows. It can be a studio project. But if they're only, for instance, if they're only posting on social media once a month, kind of one of those things where it's going to be really difficult to promote them if they aren't promoting themselves.
Yeah.
Another aspect is how new their album is. And it's kind of hard to promote an album that's 2 years old.
Yeah.
As much as that shouldn't matter. Unfortunately it does. And one of the bands that we're working with, two of the bands that we're working with right now, Ceres Body and Cynical, we're kind of gearing them up for their releases. So we're discussing album layout and PR people that we, or PR and press releases, EPK stuff, that the people that we could send it out to before we jump into that. Well, we have old material, but it's 4 years old at this point.
Wow.
So it's the newer the release, kind of the better, which is why we have one of our current band, Karnakea, out of Russia. They released their single in April, so it's perfect right now to send it out to people to get people excited. So nice. For the next 3 months, while they're still working on their album, they still have people listening to generally fresh and new material.
Nice. And so those are the main criteria that you look for when you're looking for bands. Is there anything that when you're looking at a band, it doesn't have to be a criteria, but something that sticks with you, that the band produces that just makes you really excited to work with them?
Well, as much as I have my own tastes and what genres I listen to, honestly, if a band has a professional outlook, that's mainly what I look for, or what sticks with me. I'm an illustrator, so if a band has a good-looking logo or album cover, it shows that they actually care about how they get their material out there versus, finding a random font and putting it through Microsoft Paint, which I have seen before.
Oh, goodness.
And also I show if if a band just sends, I can spot a cookie cutter electronic press kit from a mile away. So if we have a band that sends their EPK and they actually call us by name, and if they say, I was referred to, I saw that you worked with this radio station and this magazine, and I've been interviewed by this person, that's what stands out more to us than anything. Because it shows that they're not just sending it out and hoping for the best. They're actually taking the time to get to know us, which is super important, because again, I'm sure you get this too. You get a band that says, hi, my name is this band, and we would like promotion, and we played this show, and this is our album.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So if a band actually says, you know, we really like your roster, we would fit in perfectly. But the other thing is that we get a lot of our bands through word of mouth. For instance, our PR representative, Chella, played, she's in White Empress, and her band, Sarah's Body, is on our roster, but she's played for Cold Chamber for a couple of years, so we already have those people that, you know, are kind of excited. You know, half the bands that we work with, we all know each other, just because we have, and Drew is in LA, and he knows a huge number of bands that sound awesome. And in between Chella and myself as an illustrator, like, we know a lot of bands that, you know, they work with us through other things, whether they play with each other or, for instance, I've done half of our roster's album artwork. So, you know, we get a lot of word of mouth stuff, but we also find our bands, and our bands find us through them, through our other bands that we work with. So it's kind of a mixture of a lot of things that, you know, how we find them. That makes sense.
Yes, ma'am. All right. So we talked about your company. We talked about why you started the company and everything like that. So let's move back a little bit. And you said that you're an illustrator and you worked with bands. So when you became an illustrator, was it strictly to work with bands, or was there something that you wanted to do other than that?
Well, I have a bachelor's degree in illustration. I went to art school in Savannah, Georgia. I knew I kind of wanted to work with bands, none of my professors, and I didn't know of any students, whether they were current or alumni, that, you know, worked in the music scene. So I didn't really know how to get into that. And I went to school out in Georgia, and one of the big festivals that was out there was Welcome to Rockville.
Nice.
Out in Jacksonville, Florida. Yeah, and it's a hot one. But it had, you know, my two favorite bands of all time are Court and Evanescence.
Nice.
So
nice.
And I really loved a lot of the bands like Lacuna Coil and Hailstorm, Shinedown, you know, basically, yeah, I grew up with, you know, with a lot of hard rock influences. And so Welcome to Rockville this particular year had, you know, all my favorite bands. I mean, it went Evanescence and Shinedown, then Korn as the headliners, and Lacuna Coil and Hailstorm were also on that list. So I had been waiting years to see them live. And one of the things that I did kind of to gain attention, but also to show, you know, as a teenager, music was super important to me in terms of feeling my artwork as an angsty teenager, and also it influenced me more than any visual artist. So, you know, I went to a meet and greet with Hailstorm, and and I handed Lizzie a painting, and she gave me like a bear hug. So, and she said, "This is so cool," and I said, "Oh, thanks." And I went home, and I came home, and I was early 20, so this was 4 years ago, and you know, I got a message from Lizzie Hale because she wanted me to design a tattoo for her.
Oh, wow.
And that was the moment where I realized I knew what I wanted to do in my life. I was like, okay, this is cool. I get to work with one of my favorite musicians ever. This is like the best natural high ever. So it was kind of, I didn't want to stop. So, and you know, from that point on, I started to increase giving artwork to musicians with all my information on the back. And, you know, doing, you know, fan art and things like that. And, you know, and one of my other big clients is Clint Lowry's Seven Dust.
Oh, wow.
And when he did his solo project, I did, you know, he and his manager liked my work so much that I did like three different pieces of cover art. I did a hardcover book for him and everything like that. So I kind of started out, I was very fortunate to start out with kind of the bigger bands I grew up with. And it wasn't until I started going to a lot of shows after I graduated college that I started to get into the local scene a little bit more. And, you know, as much as I grew up with hard rock as a teenager, I started to go to a lot of death metal shows. Love seeing death metal live. Love it. And one of my favorite bands, I don't know if you've heard of them, they're called Allegiant. And I started, my whole approach as an illustrator is to do everything myself. I don't rely on people trying to find me. So I would do things like stop motion animations and everything inspired by some of my favorite songs, and some of those bands would end up buying the designs afterward. So I basically tried to create my own work, one time as well. And, you know, I just developed a bigger and bigger reputation that way. So as much as I'm small, I still have a lot of musicians that are pretty big or pretty local that have their artwork in my house. So I'm always in the back of their mind, and I started doing pre-made designs to sell for musicians that can't really afford to spend a couple hundred bucks or $1,000 on some images, and they can get them for like $15 to $50.
Nice.
So, you know, my whole thing again is I want everybody to do well, and especially with the local and independent bands, especially since half of them are working 2 to 3 jobs. And, you know, as much as I'm working hard and I need to pay my bills, I'm able to kind of do both at the same time. It's probably a longer answer than you were anticipating.
No, like, it's amazing. I'm actually really enjoying this entire topic. I mean, you have the DIY approach, you have the go-getter attitude and everything. Honestly, if illustration wasn't your thing, you'd be a great musician. So,
Thank you. I mean,
it'd be awesome to see, like, you pushing to become a musician, but, I mean, it's all about art, and it's all about doing it, and it's all about, you know, trying to help people rather than tear them down. So, I mean, it's amazing to hear that your story and the fact that you're actually being able to do this successfully, because sadly sometimes it's not the case.
Yeah, but you know, one of my best friends, who's also my partner at IC Home, is Drew of Cynical, and you know, we kind of pep talk each other every single day. And so, and his band Cynical is out in LA, and it's still, I would say they're a regional band. They've been able to successfully do some regional tours and everything like that, and they're right in the middle of Hollywood. But Drew is one of those people where, you know, we'll be frustrated, but he'll say things to me like, "Don't get angry." He's like, "Use this as an opportunity to basically make it a positive experience of what not to do in the future." And he's, and you know, kind of as much as he's angry, you know, whether it's with a promoter or himself or myself, because he can get angry at me sometimes. We just try to, every day, we just talk each other through things in terms of we refuse to be anything less, as much as, yes, we want everybody to do well, but we want to do well too. We want to be as successful as possible in making a bright future for everyone and ourselves at the same time, because there's, life is too short for us to be working in a job that we hate, not doing what we love, and not being able to, like, for instance, the minute we became our own bosses, we started to become more successful.
Yep. Nice. That's actually, you know, extremely true. I hate how people say it's a cliche, because mm-hmm. most of the time when you say cliche things, they're honest. It doesn't have mm-hmm. to be cliche. It's honest. I mean, you know, why waste all your life making somebody else look better instead of working every single day to make yourself feel and act better and, you know, produce that success that you have in your brain? So
mm-hmm.
I completely understand that. We'll get back into this. And then is there anything that you wanted to say?
Well, first of all, I wanted to say thank you for having me on. It's really nice to see that we have awesome people like you wanting to give us the support.
Well, thank you.
I don't even know. we just hope that we can provide kind of a beacon of hope in this industry where a lot of people are discouraged to even make their own artwork, and their art being their music, their visual aspect, whatever passion that they may have. If any of, you know, as much as we're closed for our roster at the moment, we will be opening and relaunching back up in October. So if you want us to give us, if you want to give us a shout, feel free. And again, I want to thank you for doing what you do.
Well, thank you very much. How can people get a hold of you? You said that the launch is in October. So when you open that up, when you open your roster up again, how can people get a hold of you and try to get on your roster?
Well, you can always stop by our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/ICHomePromo, and that's I as an eyeball. So, because if you just type in the letter I, you won't find us. We're also on Instagram and Twitter. Our handle is at ICHomePromo. And we have our Tumblr, Tumblr.com, ICHomePromo.tumblr.com. We have our website where you can download all of our compilations for free, which is just ICHomePromo.com. We have merch, we have compilations, we got everything. So if you just want, or if you just want to give us an email, we're at ICHomePromo@gmail.com. So we're all over the place. We're very accessible, and you know, we love to hear from people.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. It's been great to talk to you, and it's great to see that there are other people in other fields within the music industry that share the same ideas and ideals for music as well. You've inspired me today.
Oh, well, thank you.
So you have a great day, and I'll be talking to you very, very soon, all right?
Thank you, Andrew.
That was Jill from IC Home Promotions, and that is why she is fantastic. And I think this interview can do well for a lot of people. Just take notes. Do things she suggested. Listen to what she had to say, because it's very important. It's not just her. It's an entire industry that works off of some of these principles. Actually, most of these principles. So really, guys, take heed and move forward and blow people's minds. Dirtbag Smitty just finished up his band's tour. It looks like it's going to be a little bit more until the Dirtbag Block of Rock is back on the Local Music Revolution. But until then, this is an important interview, because this was done, and this interview actually led me to booking this band at my show. This is Debt to the Deathless, and they are going to tell you why they're awesome in just a few minutes. All right, I'm here with the guys from Debt to the Deathless. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
Pretty great.
It's great to hear. So, who do we have here, and what do you do in the band?
My name's Adam Verdugo. I'm the guitarist of the band.
I'm Andrew Nicklin. I do vocals.
I'm Toby Keeney. I play the bass.
Morgan Keeney, and I play drums.
Are you guys brothers?
Yes, yeah. We are brothers.
That's the second set of brothers I've had in here. That's
yeah, we don't look like we'd be brothers, but we are.
That's super awesome. All right, so firstly, the name. What does it mean to you guys?
Well, Debt to the Deathless is kind of more of like a concept thing for us called like Debt to the Gods. You know, so we're...
Man, you know?
Yeah, we have a couple goals in the future to be more of a theatrical, more of a present kind of thing, you know? So not only musically appealing, but visually appealing also.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
All right, so Debt to the Gods. What gods? Is there specific? Is it...
We are the gods.
We are the gods. We are the vessel of the gods.
So Andrew here, our vocalist, is actually sort of an author, and he wrote a book that portrays... you know, a lot of really interesting concepts about the soul and stuff. And so we're kind of taking that concept that the book is constructed and portraying it in our music and in our image that we're going to have in the future.
So this book that it's based off of, is it kind of like fiction? Is it like fictitious?
Yeah.
Like
it's fictitious. It basically takes a couple real life events and twists them in a little fictitious way and adds a little bit of a spin on, you know, like you were saying, the soul and how everlasting it really is.
That's amazing, dude. Where can I get this book?
As soon as I finish it, to be honest. Probably sometime around April, to be honest.
You want to give me an advanced copy?
Oh, for sure.
You want to send
I'll
me like unedited
me.
Shit?
Yeah, send them the unedited chapters, man. Yeah.
Seriously, I'm super down.
He's a great writer, and you could always like you could read some of his writing style on the songs.
Nice.
They're all constructive, and they're not cliche, you know, material.
In fact, one of our songs, "Old Souls," is about the first resurrection of our band.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's a concept band along with everything else that follows it.
Okay, so I am a huge fan of concept records. Like, it started with Queensryche back in the 80s with Operation Mindcrime. Because that, if you haven't seen it, just go. Do it. But the thing is, like, I love the concept. So, like, are you, being that you're a concept band, is it going to be concept records to follow as well?
Yeah, we will have albums that kind of go along. Like, they're all certain themes, and they're all going to vary from different things. I can't say it's going to be one particular subject, but each album is going to have their own theme that follows with the visual aspect and musical aspect.
That being said, it won't tie strictly to the book, but yeah, the book will be a guideline.
That is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, so we have a lot. We already have like our first album, like concept going, but we're already kind of trying to plan some more ahead, but we're trying not to get too far ahead of ourselves.
So, how old is the band?
Well,
4 months.
Four months.
Only 4 months.
Technically, it started off as a rock band, and we didn't have a vocalist, so it was just me, Morgan, and Toby. Just musically, us. It was like a rock, old 80s kind of feel. But we couldn't find a vocalist, you know, someone who could properly sing and get what we wanted. So we're just like, you know, let's just get our best friend Andrew, who's always wanted to be a vocalist. So once we got him on board, we just scrapped everything and started over.
So being that you are a fan of Ghost, does it have that old 70s feel in your music?
We take a huge amount of our influence from Ghost, and not necessarily the 70s feel that Ghost has, but the weird tones that they use, the weird scales, then
that guitar solo in Mummy Dust.
Yeah, we have a very Swedish sound, very Swedish
influence everywhere, all over the board.
So, as far as our band influences are concerned, you know, we have Ghost, In Flames, Soilwork, and
Opeth,
all of the top
Avatar
Swedish bands.
I'm falling in love with you guys. Like, I just
till you hear the music.
Well, yeah, wait till you hear the music,
I'm
the album will be way better too.
Okay, so you guys are 4 months old. Okay, you got the concept record. When's the music gonna be out?
We are planning to hit the studio in, I think, mid-September, and then hopefully we'll have our tracks out and ready for people to listen to by October, November.
Really? And how many songs is this record going to be?
The EP that we're producing right now is going to be 5.
Oh.
And then we're going to move on not too long after that to produce our album, which is going to be 10. And it will contain 2 of the songs from the EP.
That is super awesome.
It's going to be sick.
Very, super very rad. Oh, my goodness. All right. So you guys are all Swedish influenced.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Okay. So, Andrew, I see that you like Ghost. We've established this. You got to stop talking to me about it. But everybody else, who's Swedish bands that hit you?
Oh, Soilwork is my... It's everything I listen to. It's like a dream made reality in music. It's awesome.
My first big one was In Flames, but then, yeah, Soilwork too. They're also really amazing. And Ghost also.
Yeah, when we first started off with rock, at first I was kind of going for like a Papa Roach kind of approach to it. But now with this metal stuff going on, and we only have one guitarist, you know, we're not really limited, but we also have a own freedom with it. So lately I've been kind of listening to a lot of Avatar, you know, Black Dahlia Murder, a lot of that stuff, really rhythmically heavy along with its own leads to it.
All right, so Soilwork, they came out with the Ride Majestic.
The Ride Majestic. So good.
Amazing.
They came out with Ride Majestic, and I hadn't heard a CD from them since Stabbing the Drama.
Yeah.
And I listened to that record. My wife got so pissed because it was all day, every day for like 6 months.
Man, The Living Infinite is the one that got me. I had heard Stabbing the Drama and a couple songs off of one of their older albums, and it was good stuff, but it didn't, you know, straight up catch me. But then I heard The Living Infinite, the first track, Spectrum of Eternity, just blasted me straight into it.
Right?
And I couldn't turn away. It was just... It was so weird. The music was so different than from what I'd normally listen to, and it took over my life.
And Dirk, come on, the drummer? Oh.
Dirk Verbeeren, I'm so sad he went to Megadeth.
I am too, but I'm super stoked that he got to play with his heroes.
I'm excited about Megadeth's next album.
It's gonna be awesome.
It's gonna be sick.
Better be amazing.
In Flames was the first introduction to Swedish metal I ever heard, with Embody the Invisible on like a Tony Hawk game.
You see, I didn't get into their really old stuff first, but then I found that later, and it was just so much rawer. Like, the first stuff I heard by them was...
Come Clarity.
Yeah, the stuff off Come Clarity, and then...
So Take This Life?
Yeah, Take This Life. That was actually the very first song I ever heard by them.
I wish someone could play that on guitar so I could jam it on drums.
And then I moved on to stuff from A Sense of Purpose, and then I moved backwards, actually.
Dude, I heard Embody the Invisible, and then years later, I heard A Quiet Place. And I was like, when I found out both songs were from In Flames, I was like, oh my God, I love these guys for years.
That's the great thing about them. They've worked so many different styles over their years.
Legitimately, man, just like Soilwork.
Yeah.
And Avatar for you, man. I saw them
I
saw them at Knotfest.
Wow, that must have been a great spectacle.
Yeah, I was sitting on a hill and I was just like, who the fuck are these guys? The singer looks like a clown.
Yeah, it's
and
very
then,
different.
Damn it. Smells Like...
A freak show?
There you go. Smells
Great
like
song.
Freak show. They played that one, and I was like, okay, hooked. The next day, I went out and got both of their CDs.
Yeah.
And sadly, I have not got their new one, so it pisses me off.
Oh, man, I got the newest album. So I first heard the newest song on the radio, The Eagles Landed, and I heard the song, and I swore someone told me about them, and I'm like, wow, Avatar's on the radio. So I was pretty surprised by that itself. So I, you know, looked up a couple songs. So a couple songs turned into a couple albums. A couple albums turned into a couple interviews, and then boom, second band of all time. But what really got me the most is when I first heard them, I'm like, wow, this really sounds like Dead to the Deathless. You know, it has that. So I looked them up on Wikipedia, and they identified themselves as a Swedish melodic groove metal. So I'm like, that's it. We're groove metal, you know. We're a melodic groove metal.
All day, man. Groove metal is amazing.
Yeah.
No, I swear that Swedish metal, European metal, is 10 times better than most of the American stuff that we hear now.
Yeah,
we're naming our favorite bands, and we all go to festivals together, and every band we always go out to see is 87% of the time, it's like Swedish. Guarantee it, probably Swedish.
2005 Ozfest, I called it the Swedish Invasion because it had Soilwork, Arch Enemy, In Flames, you know, all that. Like, oh my gosh, man. It was amazing, and I'm so happy that I got to see all of them before, like they peaked, because you get to see like the rawness and the newness of them, and it's amazing. All right, so let's get back to your bands, okay?
I like talking about your influences because we know who you are now, okay? But Debt to the Deathless, okay? You said that you're planning for the future, so how far ahead do you have it?
Well, we all kind of have the same kind of dream to make it really big, and I don't see us stopping anytime soon, so we plan about at least 5 years ahead in the future, at least.
5 years.
Yeah, so once we got the rock going, there's no stopping us.
So how many albums is that?
Oh. So far, we got at least
I want to say that's going to probably be two to three albums, maybe.
We have plenty enough material.
You know, material has been, you know, produced here. I mean, we've been together for 4 months producing what we've been producing, and we already have a five-track EP and a few songs written off of our album that we're going to be recording sometime around the early next year. So I'm pretty sure if we can keep the steady pace that we've got, you know, within the next 5 years, we'll have about three albums out.
All right, man, so you as the writer, you come in, you give them basically the basis that the entire band is set on. Do you have the five-year plan as well with your writing? Are the concepts going to follow your writing, like, aside from book one? Is there going to be more?
I mean, the book is kind of just an introduction to the concept. It's almost a completely different story involved and all that, and it's going to have its own little chaotic structure. And it's going to have the teeniest little minuscule hint that it is even related at all to the band. But we're taking the premise that's in the book and making it a reality.
So that's amazing, man. I'm sorry, because, like, you can be like, so if you like the album, you know, use your brain and read too. And, like, you'll be able to sell a book just off the fact that your band's based on that. It's an amazing...
Yeah. Coining a new genre, litcore.
If at anything, it's an amazing marketing strategy. Like, Kiss in the 80s, they made the biggest comic book ever, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're geniuses in that respect, but it was a marketing ploy and it paid off. I mean, they put their face on everything.
You know, honestly, this one didn't even start off a marketing ploy. It started off, I just wanted to be a novelist, and I made it about halfway through. I hit a little bit of a wall, but at that time, I was, you know, focusing more on writing poetry and stuff, which turned into writing lyrics. And so now I'm focusing a little harder on that, and I work a seasonal job with Fresno County. So once my off season, I'm going full gear back into writing that novel and some other songs.
All right, so when you're writing, you sit down. Did you write the lyrics to these songs?
Yeah.
Did you write them? Sorry. Did you write them, like, in a dark space, you know, with, like, demos playing? Or did you write them to where, like, while they were playing, you know, like, spur of the moment, how you felt?
They were written in several ways. The first one started, I just kind of gave Morgan some lyrics, and he wound up writing a song to it in the shower. And so it kind of went from there. And the second one, he gave me a song, and I started writing lyrics to it, and that one's Shrine to Sadness. And it's kind of just flip-flop from there. Like, either he'll come up with something new, and I'll go and listen to it for days and just get some concept in my mind to come up with a song about. Or, you know, the other way around. I'll just come up with some lyrics, and they'll be playing something at practice, and I'll just try to add it to it and see if it fits.
That is amazing, man. That is super awesome. I love hearing about how an artist writes, because it's always different, and it's always amazing. So it really is awesome.
It's really something else. We have very collaborative minds.
So you as a lyricist, as a poetry author, as a novelist, how do you cultivate those concepts? Like, you can have a rough idea, but do you sit on it and try to, like...
Yeah,
like,
I try to dwell
on
it.
Old, like...
it's kind of like any good... You know, album. You'll sit and you'll listen to it a few times, and you go on this sort of journey in your mind. I'll get the idea for something, and then I have to craft it as if I'm watching this picture form in front of me, and then the words kind of just come, you know?
That's crazy, man. It's crazy. I hated English in school. I hated it with a passion. And then there was one, like, 2014, 2015, I sat down and I was like, I want to write lyrics, you know? I can write lyrics, I can rhyme, I'm smart enough to make words. So I started writing lyrics, and then, like, pretty soon it was like 150 sets of lyrics just popping out. It was just turning out very rapidly.
It helps to write from real life experiences and, you know, real life situations you've had to go through, and helps put it on paper. Give the audience something they could possibly relate to, you know.
That's amazing, guys.
That was always my favorite music. Anything that connected with me, you know, personally.
We kind of make our things kind of subliminal, so the listener, if they keep listening, they always have something to always look out for and pick up something each time they listen to it.
I've listened to my own songs with, you know, different ears a few times and heard different things. Like, whoa, I didn't even read it about that, but it fits.
All right, so just a couple more questions and then we'll wrap up. You guys said that there was going to be a visual element to the band. Have you guys cultivated that? Are you testing that out?
Yeah, we've talked about it a bit, and you know, the idea we're going to try and go for with this is that there's these things called old souls. That's what our title track and probably maybe what our album is going to be about. And the old souls are beings that have tied their souls to like an artifact and have made it so that they can basically course through time without dying completely, so they can come back and have more influence on the world. And there's a lot more complex stuff to this, but basically the premise we are taking is that certain sets of like old gods, you know, the polytheist sets of gods, the Greeks, Romans, Mayans, those kind of things, we're going to basically embody the people that were worshipped by them when they first came around, you know, and make it so that we went through time influencing all of these major parts of every culture until now, when we're just like making a metal band and writing about all the crazy shit we did in the past.
That is fantastic. Oh my gosh, man. Right. Okay. All right. I'm super excited about this. You guys have to let me know when everything's out. I'm super, super excited. All right. So, before you go, who are you most excited to see here tonight?
Heretic AD. I've seen some pretty good videos from them online, and I'm interested to see what they sound like live.
Nice, nice.
Arc Assist.
Nice. You know, I'm pretty excited to see Beastmaker. I've never seen him before.
True. Beastmaker's pretty sick. I've heard Beastmaker's stuff before, and I've never heard anything like that in the Central Valley before. So I'm curious to see how Beastmaker's going to react, but with what I've seen before, I'm down to see Arc Assist.
Yeah, nice.
Definitely Arc Assist. Hey, we got homies over in Arc Assist.
Awesome, guys. Well, thank you very much for your time. It's been great talking to you guys.
Thank you. It's been
great. I'm learning about you guys. I can't wait for the future. So you guys have to keep me in the loop, okay?
Thank you very much.
Super awesome. Thank you. And that finally was Debt to the Deathless. Super rad. I got to see them shortly after this interview, and I was actually blown away. I have video on my phone of them covering Slipknot, and I was not actually disappointed. It was truly awesome. So, as stated in the beginning, let's do this again. The Local Music Revolution is now sponsored by Cold Cock Whiskey. And second announcement was, the Local Music Revolution will be hosting a masquerade Halloween party October 29th at Barmageddon here in my hometown of Tulare, California. Seriously, guys, it's amazing. It's really, really awesome. And if you have any questions, I mean, Debt to the Deathless, right before this little outro thing, go listen to that again. They are super awesome, and you will not be regretting this. Now, thank you so much to Jill for taking the time out of your day, out of your time, to spend with me talking about your company. I really appreciate it. This is one of my favorite interviews I was able to do, and I really, really hoping this actually advances a bunch of bands. So thank you so much for your time. Now, with I have nothing else to say, actually. I'm done. You guys have really taken a lot out of me. So, alas, I will wrap this up. Thank you again. If you want to get a hold of me and talk to me about music, if you have questions, if you want to know how and when to get to this masquerade party, October 29th, 2016, at Barmageddon in Tulare, you can go onto social media. Go to facebook.com/thelocalmusicrevolution. Go to Twitter at TLMR Podcast. Go to Instagram at thelocalmusicrevolution. Go to tumblr.com/thelocalmusicrevolution. And you can get all this information at the website, thelocalmusicrevolution.com.
Thank you so much, listeners. It's amazing. I'm so happy I actually get to announce these kind of things and have shows like this that are just super, super awesome. On next week's episode, we're going to have a band out of LA / Fresno. Mirror Hollow will be on the show. So without anything else to say, this is the Local Music Revolution. I am Ogre. You are awesome. Take care and be good, everyone.
The local music revolution.